From the Rust Center for Media, welcome to Focus on Southeast, a monthly program on issues and events impacting the campus of Southeast Missouri State University. Today we're talking with Southeast President Dr. Carlos Vargas. Among other things, we'll get an update on the budget, learn more about the 100,000 Strong in the Americas program, and much more. Dr. Vargas, it's good to see you.
Thank you
once again.
Thank you very much. It's very nice to be back.
So you were recently doing some traveling and you went to Italy. I'm just curious, just personally, what was that trip like?
Well, it was very, very exciting. Pam and I took some vacation and took the opportunity to travel with a team of alumni. This was organized by the alumni office, and it's very exciting to be able to make a trip like that in a group of people that have a common thread. Most of them associated to the university, alumni and current employees and so on. And, Italy is a wonderful place, absolutely, even though we went there when it was already a little bit cold, because this is what they call the low season. But we really pretty much enjoyed. And one of the characteristics of the trip that was very nice is that we did not have to go around from hotel to hotel, but rather we went to a location, and then from there we made daily trips to different places. So it was a central location, and we could go for one day to Florence, one day to Pisa, one day to Siena, one day to Lucca. And so it's a great thing. So very nice, very nice.
That sounds like a wonderful time. Well, let's talk about several other things that we want to hit there during our time together today. And the first is, and of course, while you were gone, the budget process is continuing to change, and the budget committee has been working. Can you give us just a brief update on where things are now at this point in the year?
Sure. We continue to work with the different divisions on identifying the source of funds that we're going to have to cut. And we're doing that. Every division is doing that. The Academic Affairs is also doing that, looking at some potential reorganization of the Academic Affairs area in terms of colleges and departments and so on. So that process is going on with consultation with the faculty and others at the university and the students. We move forward. We're expecting that in the next few weeks we'll be able to have more clarity as to exactly how we're going to be doing.
And I think one of the keys here is this is a collaborative sort of effort, so that everyone has a seat at the table, so to speak, to provide input on the process.
We've had at the university a very transparent process for many years, and there's a budget review committee that actually looks at all these at the budget for every year, and they're engaged in the process, and they're aware of the needs and the challenges that we're facing. And in that group, there's conversations about the various options and possibilities. And then that group that has representatives from the students, the faculty, and the staff, they all go back to their constituents and talk about what's happening. So, and then of course my office puts out information on a regular basis about where we are. Whenever we feel that there's information that's important to share, we do that too. So
communication is a key.
It is very important. Absolutely, yes. Mm-hmm.
Let's shift a little bit and talk about the 100,000 Strong in the Americas. So I read a little bit about this. And it's sort of a cross-border partnership with enhancing higher education engagement. You might talk a little bit about this program and what Southeast will be doing and participating.
Sure. We're really excited about that. And actually, I am somewhat surprised that we were able to be so successful so quickly by getting a group of students here. So these are students from Mexican universities who are coming here to enhance their language skills. And so they were with us for about 4 weeks. I had an opportunity to meet with them a few times. As a matter of fact, I met with them just a couple of hours ago. And tomorrow, actually, they're leaving. That's the end of the 4 weeks, and they're going to spend the day in St. Louis. And then the following day, on Saturday, they're flying back. this program has this 100,000 strong is the idea is to try to promote understanding, to try to promote language acquisition, to try to promote opportunities for research. So it's got a number of branches. And this particular group that we received here was one that focuses on language acquisition. So they joined our intensive English program, IEP we call it, at different levels. And so they were plugged in depending on the level of English that they had. And the idea was that they actually improved their skills as they were here.
Is this the first time that we've participated in this?
This is the first time. It was. I won't go into the details about how we ended up participating in it, but the fact is Dr. Temlin, who is the executive director for International Education Services, has been instrumental, and with everybody else in the international office, to make sure that we take advantage of opportunities like this. And I think I talked to the students. They were very happy to have been here. They participated in a lot of activities, including Carpe Diem, which is a very recent activity that took place at the university.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about Carpe Diem. And I guess that's just one of those opportunities to come and learn about other cultures and other peoples. It's sort of a mini melting pot, I guess, if you want to look at it that way, right?
Yes.
Maybe?
Right, yes, actually. It's a wonderful event. I must confess I wasn't able to attend this year because of my travel, but it's a wonderful way of connecting different individuals from different countries, from different cultures, and develop this kind of camaraderie that and develop a community here that learns about each other. And I think that's a wonderful thing. So for the students from Mexico to have had an opportunity to see what we do there, I think it was great.
Well, and I read about it a little bit. So the event has crafts and home items and food. So I guess you could try some different foods maybe that you haven't tried before, see the way things are done in another country. And many times you don't get that exposure unless you travel, and sometimes we don't have the opportunity to do that.
Absolutely. You know, and the beautiful thing is that the food is really cooked by the students themselves. So these are individuals that come, that know from their parents, from their mothers, their fathers, you know, how to cook these things. So I've tried them, and I love to have the opportunity to try their food, while at the same time sometimes watching some of the dances that they have or other activities that are reflective of their culture. And so I what I have seen is increasingly many of the domestic students actually participating also in those events and appreciating what they get there. So,
how important is it for a university to do things like Carpe Diem?
I think it's extremely important. I really think it is extremely important. We have a responsibility to help our students become better able to deal with the multicultural environments, because that's what the business world right now is calling for. And so these kinds of activities really is provide an opportunity for them to it's almost like a training. Okay. Opportunity for them to feel comfortable interacting with people from other cultures that do things differently, that think differently, not necessarily better or worse, but just differently. And so we really, that kind of activity really plays a very important role in helping our students become competitive when they leave the university and get into a job.
Let's talk a little bit about the Higher Learning Commission. And what I read about it, and this is what it said, to foster a campus environment that values all employees by ensuring faculty and staff feel respected, welcomed, and appreciated through a focus on faculty and staff recruitment and retention, and enhanced dialogue around diversity and inclusion. So what can you tell us about this initiative and what it means to the university?
Let me start by telling you a little bit about this, the Strategy Forum. The Strategy Forum is an activity that the university is committed to because of the accreditation process that we have to undergo on a regular basis. Universities throughout the United States have to be accredited for them to be able to operate. And this accreditation comes from a number of different regional agencies. There are a number of them, six or seven, that operate in the U.S. We are part of, we're in the region call that is essentially part of the Higher Learning Commission. And so the Higher Learning Commission has these accrediting standards that the universities have to satisfy. Within the Higher Learning Commission, you have different ways of satisfying these standards. One of them is called AQIP, which is Academic Quality Program. Essentially, that's what we have. And this program requires, as part of being in part of it, to attend one of these strategy forums every so often.
Okay.
And so this time, it was our turn to go, and we thought about what kind of topic we wanted to deal with. And one that I felt in particular that was important to deal with was the one that you were talking about. You know, how do we support our employees? How do we make sure that we communicate to them that they are valued members of this university? And so the idea was to go there and talk among a group of us about this and to try to develop an understanding of where we are, look at the data we have, the evidence we have, and then figure out a way to enhance our efforts to communicate to people and make people feel that they are valued and that they are supported. And in particular, promoting an inclusive and diverse community at the university.
Do you feel like the university has some work to do in this area, or do you think Southeast is doing a pretty good job overall?
I think we have work to do. I would not ever be able to really say I think we've reached the point at which we don't have really much work to do. We are trying hard, I'm personally committed to this. And you may remember that a couple of years ago, right before I came, President Dobbins had established this a task force on diversity education. They worked on a number of recommendations for us. They submitted a report, and when I came in, we looked at the report, and then we have started working on the various recommendations. And Sonia Rocker, who is an assistant to the president for diversity and inclusion, who is also the dean of students, actually, is now keeping that document in her office updated. Mm-hmm. And you can find it in the website. So okay. That's something that we're doing, and we continue to work hard on it. What is very important, I think, is to always be in communication with individuals. I think communication is an extremely critical element of the efforts that the university does to make sure that that the people that work in it feel that they're being heard, that they're valued. And so we need to pay attention to that, and that's why we selected, and I have to take some blame for that, I guess, or credit, whatever you want to call it, for identifying that as the project that we wanted to talk about. So we weren't there. We talked about that, and we're going to continue our conversations now that we're back. So that was sort of like a retreat kind of thing, where we spend about 2 days talking about these things and following a protocol and a process that the HLC identifies to facilitate the development of actions and plans to make sure that you address that particular subject that you are interested in. Every institution identifies a different project.
And maybe I missed this, but is this a Missouri initiative, or is this a nationwide initiative with the HLC?
This is a program that HLC has in its region.
The regional program.
Which is a regional program. So we're part of the region and the HLC. Okay. And so this is part of, and again, it's part of the AQIP modality to achieve accreditation. If you're in a different modality with an HLC, then you don't have to go through this strategy forum. It gets a little bit complicated, but basically this satisfies one of the expectations that we need to satisfy to achieve accreditation. And it, of course, is a way to help us become more effective as an institution by doing a better job at the various aspects that we have to deal with.
And beyond communication, I guess events could play a part in this, and just taking time for different groups to get together and talk, mm-hmm. because sometimes just talking through things can open doors to understanding that maybe wouldn't be there otherwise.
Yes, conversation is important, and valuing conversation is important too. So this is a project, but as you clearly said, and as I believe, the idea of promoting this interaction and the conversation is very important. You know, somebody said one time that it's very difficult to dislike somebody that you know, that you understand something about, something about that whose challenges you understand, and so that's what I want to be able to achieve. And there are many people in the university that are interested in doing that. There are now Sonia Rocker is now has established a number of affinity groups. So there's the Black staff and faculty affinity group, and then there's the LGBT affinity group, and so she's going to continue to work with them and give them an opportunity to have conversations and to provide input and suggestions and recommendations to us.
So let's talk a little bit about cultural competence in health professions. Mm-hmm. So Southeast is bringing an interdisciplinary approach to healthcare while educating students on the importance of compassion in their work. So this is an interdisciplinary work, as I read, between nursing, anthropology, and foreign languages.
Okay.
In a program like this, why is it so important to the university to offer this type of particular program?
Well, first of all, let me just say that that's a great idea, and I congratulate the departments that are involved in doing that and applaud them for being creative and being innovative. This is an example of innovation, curricular innovation, and that's one of the things that we should be doing at the university. The importance of that is because we have health. The health area is one that touches different groups, and some of those groups, in order to be able to understand the health challenges that they have, you need to be able to communicate with them, and so and you need to be culturally sensitive to the way that they feel and they behave, and so. You can't just sort of ask for the data without really knowing how to ask for it. How do you interact? How do you encourage somebody to be candid and to share with you really what they feel, because it's such a personal issue when you have a problem, a health problem. So having this program will give our health related graduates, students, an opportunity to become more competent in dealing with different populations and actually even understanding the language. How do you communicate a specific disease in Spanish or in other language is very critical. When I was a faculty member in Ohio, I remember that one time the College of Nursing contacted me and asked me if my daughter could go with the nurses to a small region where there was a large population of Hispanic individuals because they knew my daughter was bilingual. So they said, could she come with us so that she can help us understand what they're telling us? So it really is a very interesting and valuable activity to be engaged in.
Well, I noticed from talking with some of the faculty involved in this that, you know, in Cape Girardeau, there could be a situation where you go to the hospital, and if there's someone there on the staff that doesn't speak Spanish, for example, there's that language barrier, and they've in the past had to actually try to get somebody on an iPad or on some kind of device where they could translate it, do it that way, because there was no one there in the building who could do it. So the fact that this is here will help bridge that so that that kind of opportunity is available in our region.
It really is an example of how the university really becomes a true partner to promote, an environment that is welcoming to people from other cultures. Because if they know that they have that kind of support, then they're more likely to come and stay. as opposed to going to places or big cities where they are more likely to find individuals who have the expertise that you're talking about. So
we've got time for maybe one more topic briefly, and that has to do with the Southeast Department of Agriculture. They were awarded a grant by the Missouri Department of Agriculture to evaluate, this is going to be get technical for a radio guy like me, but polysulfate as an organic fertilizer for certain vegetables and as a soil conditioner to improve soil health. So from what I understand from this, doing this rather than doing tillage, this is a way to keep the soil healthy. And again, since Southeast is here and has always been a very institution active in the agricultural area, this is one of those things I think is important for the region as well.
It is very important for a variety of reasons. Well, first of all, it's one way to connect with the agriculture community. And as you said, agriculture is a key industry in our state. So by connecting with them, we are we're a resource for them. Secondly, we receive a grant, so that means that there's an infusion of funds into the university that allows to support students and gives the students an opportunity to participate in research projects, which when they graduate, they can put in their resume, and it really opens doors for them. So this is something that I think, and it also gives our faculty an excitement and an exciting opportunity to develop professionally. So there's really multiple ways in which this kind of activity really helps the university and the students.
And that real-world experience that is an important thing today.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, Dr. Vargas, thank you for spending time with us again today.
Thank you, Vandance. Nice being here with you again.
And Focus on Southeast is a collaboration of KRCU Public Radio and the Department of Mass Media here at Southeast Missouri State University. And just a reminder that portions of these monthly conversations with Dr. Vargas will be broadcast on KRCU and are also available as a podcast. Just search for Vargas Speaks. From the Rust Center for Media, I'm Dan Wudge, General Manager of KRCU Public Radio. Thanks for watching. Be sure to tune in next time for Focus on Southeast.